This is the Opening Market Podcast on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network for your Monday, March the 22nd. I'm Dustin Huffman. We're talking right now with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net here on this Friday morning. And Matt, a lot of red on the greens here as we take the pause going into the opening session. And Matt, what are we seeing driving that downward momentum right now?
I think there's just a little bit of maybe a little bit of profit take. I mean, we are looking forward towards, a report next week, which is a big one, quite frankly. I mean, we know that, you could be looking at some massive changes. I mean, typically that's kind of what we see happen with this planning intentions and quarterly stocks report. So, I think that there's probably just a little bit of folks maybe take a little off the table. Watching South American weather, of course, definitely, watching Argentina and Brazil. Argentina's been too wet. Brazil's been too hot and dry. But at the same time, we all know that there's enough stocks out here in the world that probably aren't going to get super concerned just yet. So, you look at this corn market. It looks like we have a really good shot at closing with, some weekly gains. Nothing to get super excited about it. But, 3-4 cent gains is certainly better than nothing, whereas on soybeans, we're still above. The thing is, you start out the week down, I believe we were down 10 or 11 cents there on Monday, and then on Wednesday we're up 24 cents, and so bottom line is this morning being down 10 cents, we're still up on the week. It's just not near as good a week as what we thought we might be looking at there midweek.
Now, you mentioned what's going on with South American weather and everything, but we know here we're still not in the ground quite yet, at least in the Corn Belt. But, we know there's been a lot of dry areas. I just saw a tweet the other day, the Cedar River over in near Waterloo, where it was almost bone dry. I mean, how much concern is weather playing already, even though we haven't quite got the seed in the ground yet?
I think the weather, has definitely been watch very closely. There's just a lot of folks that are, concerned, especially Iowa and southern Minnesota. But at the same time, I got to think most producers I know, as well as me, because I farm, I would much rather have a drier type spring than a wetter spring. And so, we've got to hope that we don't see this trend turn into a wetter topsoil type spring that we're, kind of dodging ponds and whatnot. So as of this point, I think it's too early in the year to get super concerned. It's just that there's not a lot of subsoil moisture. So there's no doubt that there's going to be a lot of folks watching this once you get on out past the planting window.
Now, looking at that planting intentions report next week, I mean, in your crystal ball, what kind of things are you thinking we might be seeing coming out of that?
We did 91.5. We did on corn 86.1 on beans. And then when you look at wheat 46.2. And the reason winter wheat acres were definitely down. Spring wheat acres look to be lower as well. We don't think corn and bean combined acreage will be up much. I think cotton's going to pull maybe a million acres out of the mix. We just feel like actually some of these acres are going to move lower or not grow a lot, Dustin. And the reason is because of profit margins. And so when profit margins evaporate, a lot of times, acreage tends to kind of back off a shade. And so we feel like we'll be looking at very similar acreage as what we saw, a year ago, corn and beans combined. And so I guess my thought process is that, if you come in at 93 or above, I'm not going to be shocked on the one hand. But on the other hand, we got to hope that's not what happens, because when you look at the balance sheet, that's the last thing we need to see.
All right, and switching over to the livestock side of things, we got a big report coming out today, cattle on feed report. Of course, that's usually after the close, but do we see any of that, at least in your crystal ball, do you see that making a big impact, going into the beginning of next week?
Not necessarily, and here's why. We knew that the report was going to be pretty bullish, versus a normal month for the January numbers, which was released there in February. The thing about it, Dustin, is that, it wasn't near as bullish as everyone thought, which tells you, that maybe this report might be, you know, over 100, if you will. And so my thought process is that, you know, you're probably going to have maybe a little more of a bearish tilt this month. Last month, we felt like it would be a pretty bullish number. The weather in January pretty much halted movement of cattle. And so we knew placements would be lower. Some thought they could get down in the 80s, where actually they were in the low 90s. You move into this month, you've got to think that the number is going to be over 100 due to the fact that last month you were in the low 90s. And so I think when you put the 2 months together, and we understand that the total cattle herd inventory is a 73-year low, I don't think that these numbers are going to be overwhelmingly bearish. They're going to look a little bit bearish versus a year ago. But again, fundamentally, this cattle market is definitely primed for more up later in the year if the economy can sustain it. One of the most bullish fundamental situations we've got in agriculture is certainly with regards to cattle.
Yeah, I was finding that interesting what you were talking about. I mean, just seeing the reports from yesterday, too, end of the day yesterday, seeing some bids coming in, and not bad bids either. I mean, so the Packers are still paying, even though it seems like they're, you know, trying to hold out as long as they can.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some 190s rolling in, and even low 190. You know, whenever you talk about fats, these guys are chasing these cattle around for sure. Definitely trying to get all the cattle bought that they can. Now, whenever you look at feeders, for instance, yes, both fats and feeders have kind of fallen off a little bit as far as what you see on the board, but good night. Feeders, some people are saying it's the highest they've ever seen in their particular area, even though the board doesn't necessarily reflect that. So, you know, I think overall what we all have to understand is that, you know, with cheap corn, a lot of folks feel like they can buy these feeders at these excessively high prices and still print some profit. But at the same time, you know, there's definitely, as always, a fair amount of risk in this cattle game. So I certainly have to hope that we continue to see strong prices. I think we will. But volatility is going to stay pretty strong, in my opinion, especially when you're bordering on, you know, record high levels.
All right. And then finally, wrapping up with the hog market, Matt, I mean, what are we seeing right now here at the end of the week? And what do you think it's going to be doing here in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I don't. It's a really tough call. I mean, the hog market seems to have kind of gotten comfortable following the cattle market around. You know, whenever I look at the hog market, though, you know, you've got just really strong prices versus what, you know, what I thought that we would see. Had a lot of triple digits there for a while. A couple, three of the front months have kind of slipped below, but still, you know, you're still looking at $100 hogs on a couple of your deferred markets. And so I think as long as the cattle market stays strong, which I would expect, I think that you can expect that hogs are going to stay relatively strong as well. There's no doubt that there's some folks that probably would lean towards, you know, maybe backing away from the table a little bit, you know, on some of these cattle or beef, box beef prices that we've seen that might switch over and, you know, of course, eat a tasty pork chop. So I think it's pretty good for all of us whenever we see the kind of price structure that we've seen, especially moving over towards the cattle discussion again.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks so much for the insight. And if folks want to pick your minds there at agmarket.net, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch, get some information from you?
Yeah, buddy, you just said it. It's just agmarket.net. If they go there, they can get our contact info, all the technology we provide to help producers figure break evens and return on investment. And then, of course, all the research we provide. So just go over to agmarket.net.
All right, Matt, thanks so much for the insight. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, bud.
That again was Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. Let's go ahead and take a look at the market numbers for you. May corn down 1¾ at 439 even. December new crop down 2 cents at 474¾. May beans down 14 cents at 1198, with November new crop down 11½ at 1192¾. Soy meals down $4.70 at 339.60. Soy oil down 35 cents. That's at 48.44. Chicago wheat down 2½ right now at 544¼. Kansas wheat down 4¾ at 577 even. Minneapolis spring wheat down a half at 656¾, and oats up a half. That's at 354 even. On the Mercantile Exchange, we see live cattle up 22 cents at 188.60. Feeders up 15 cents. They're at 254.77. Lean hogs up 12 cents at 85.02. Pork cutouts down a dime at 92.42, and Class 3 milk up 8 cents at 15.82. Thanks again to Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net for joining us here on the Opening Market Podcast. I'm Dustin Huffman on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, where Iowa Ag matters.